At the very outset of Perek Vav, we find a fascinating comment in the Yalkut Shimoni, very beautiful message, which is quoted in Sefer Mishpatzo Zahav, where the Yalkut Shimoni notes the following. If you look at the very opening words of Perek Vav, the Perek begins with the words, Vaya'asu b'nei Yisrael hara b'enei Hashem. The Jewish nation committed sin or evil in the eyes of God. By name Hashem, b'yad Midjan, Shabashanim, and God gives them over to the hands of Midjan, one of their old enemies, dating back to the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And for 7 years, they are being persecuted by Midjan. But if you look, for example, back in Perek Dalet, because this theme is a common one throughout Sefer Shoftim, the Jews sin, an enemy nation persecutes them, they cry out in prayer, God saves them, and things are quiet for a number of years, and then, sadly, the cycle begins again. They sin, another enemy nation persecutes them, and so on and so forth. But if what's interesting is, you look back in Perek Dalet, when the story of Devorah began, and in Perek Dalet, there they were being persecuted at the hands of Yovin Melech Kanaan and his general Sisera. But Perek Dalet begins with the phrase Vayosifu B'nei Yisrael Lasos Hara B'nei Hashem. The Jews continued to do bad in the eyes of God. Jump ahead yet again, Perek Yud Gimel, another again story in Sefer Shoftim following the same theme. Look in Perek Yud Gimel. Look how the story there opens up. Once again, this is the introduction to the story of Shimshon in Perek Yud Gimel. And there, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, again, Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael, lasos hara b'enei Hashem. They continued to do bad in the eyes of God. So Perek Dalet with Sisera and Yovin Melech Kanaan and Devorah, Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael, lasos hara b'enei Hashem. Perek Yud Gimel, Shimshon, and the Plishtim, Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael, lasos hara b'enei Hashem. Exact same word for word phrase introducing both the story of Devorah and Sisera, the story of Shimshon and the Plishtim. And yet here, with Gidon and Midjan, the phrase is noticeably different. Instead of Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael, lasos hara b'enei Hashem, the pasuk begins with Vayasu b'nei Yisrael, hara b'enei Hashem. So the Yalkut Shimoni is puzzled by that very clear distinction. Why, in two other places, is it Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael, lasos hara? And here it is Vayasu b'nei Yisrael, hara. And the Yalkut Shimoni has a beautiful explanation for the difference. What is the difference between Vayosifu and Vayasu? Vayosifu sounds like, the Yalkut Shimoni indicates, that this is just a continuation of what they had done before. They never fully atoned for their previous sinful ways. Perhaps they had achieved a period of tranquility and quiet, but they never fully atoned for their previous sins, and therefore Vayosifu, they're adding on to what is already on the books, so to speak. That's with regard to the story Devorah and Sisera, Shimshon and Plishtim. But why here is that Vayasu? Vayasu means, the Yalkut Shimoni indicates, they're starting from a fresh slate, clean slate. There's nothing on the books, no sin on the record books. Now they're starting anew, for the first time, as it were. Vayasu b'nei Yisrael hara b'enei Hashem. So this story of Gidon is almost like the b'nei Yisrael starting with a clean slate. And they committed, as if it were for the first time, evil in the eyes of God. And the question now becomes, why? Why if when it comes to the story of Devorah, the story of Shimshon, there it's Vayosifu. They're adding on to the sin that already existed. And yet here, by the story of Gidon, it's Vayasu. They're starting to sin for the first time. Why the difference? Why here is it a fresh start? Why here is this, oh, for the first time, they are sinning? Why the difference? And the Yalkut Shimoni says a beautiful thought. The Yalkut says, you know the difference is? Here's the difference. The difference is because what happened in last week's Perek? The previous Perek. What had they just done in Perek Hay? They had just sung Shira. Devorah sang Shira. That, says the Yalkut Shimoni, makes all the difference. When you've just sung Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that cleans your slate. Much like the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Zohar, with regard to the recital of Oz Yashir every single day. Mishnah Berurah says anyone who sings Oz Yashir, sings Shiras Hayam with proper kavana, it's as if he's atoned for all of his sins. And that's apparently what happened here, the Yalkut Shimoni is indicating. The Yalkut says exactly this. The Yalkut says, Kol Mishinasa Lones, anyone who was the beneficiary of a miraculous salvation, Ve'omer Shira, and he sings Shira Tekadosh Baruch Hu, Biyadua Shemochlin Lo Al Kol Avonosav, it is known that he is atoned for all his sins, V'nasa Beria Chadasha, and he's like a new creation. And the Yalkut says, that's what happened here. Devorah and Barak experienced the Nes, they sang Shira, and how do we know their sins were forgiven? Because the Pasuk begins this parak, not with the typical Vayosifu, Lasos Hara, but with the Vayasu, which implies, says the Yalkut, Tchilas Asiya. It was the first commission of sin, as it were, because they had already atoned for all their sins, because they had just sung Shira. That's a beautiful, beautiful thought. What Mishpat Zozov adds to that is the following. Why is it so that singing Shira is capable of wiping away all your previous sins so that you now have a clean slate? Because the Gemara tells us in Yuma Daf Pevav, Gedola Tshuva. Tshuva is so powerful, so significant, so great. Why? So the Gemara says the following. If one does Tshuva out of fear, then those sins that you committed intentionally are now viewed as if they were committed unintentionally, mistakenly. But if one performs tshuva me'ahava, one performs tshuva out of love, the Gemara says in Yuma Pevav Mebeis, zdonos nasos lo kizchuyos. Those sins that were committed once upon a time intentionally are now somehow transformed as if they are meritorious acts. Completely wiped away from the record books. Tshuva me'ahava is capable of completely wiping away any record of sin from one's record books. And that's what happened here. Singing Shira is a form of tshuva me'ahava. You're so overcome with emotion, with gratitude, with enthusiasm, with appreciation to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you sing Shira. That love that is expressed through the Shira is a tshuva me'ahava. And that is mochel all sins, all avonos. It's a remarkable, remarkable musar that when one experiences a Yeshua b'derach neis, one is obligated to, it seems, certainly capable of, and able to sing Shira, but singing Shira properly under such circumstances, which is a form of expression of Ahava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is capable of atoning for all of one's averus. Beautiful, beautiful musar. That's how this parak opens up. Vayasu b'nei Yisrael, they started anew. Sadly, they committed sins, as we know from elsewhere in Sefer Shoftim. What happens now? So they're subjected to the persecution of Midian for 7 years. And in Pasuk Beis, we are told that out of fear of Midian, the b'nei Yisrael were forced to hide out in tunnels, in caves, in the mountains. They were hiding out of fear of Midian. They were locking themselves down in fortified areas. So the Minharos in the mountains, the Ma'aros, the caves, the Mitzados, those are the fortresses. And the Pesukim describe now what kind of persecution they were subjected to. I use the word tunnels from Minharos. Minharos is, in modern Hebrew, tunnel. The way the Mefarshim explained it here in Tanakh Hebrew is that it is a type of cave where there is just a small little opening that light is able to penetrate. So I use the word tunnel because that's the modern Hebrew word for it. But more accurately here in Tanakh, the Malbim says it's a cave where the light penetrates through a small little aperture, a small little hole. That's how the Malbim describes what the word Minharos means. It's a type of cave. The Pesukim describe in Pasuk Gimel that if they would even plant their crops, Midian would quickly swoop in along with Amalek and Bnei Kedem and attack the crops. Attack the crops. They would, in Pasuk Dalad, they would encamp upon them. They would destroy the produce of the land anywhere in the country, says the Pasuk. Ad Boacha Aza, all the way down to Aza. Anywhere the Jews planted, they Mijanim, first and foremost, but also assisted by the Amalek and the Bnei Kedem, would swoop in and destroy the produce. Destroy the produce. They would not leave any source of sustenance behind for Bnei Yisrael whatsoever. Not just with regard to the crops, the Pasuk says, but so too with regard to the animals. The sheep, the oxen, the donkey. So they would persecute Klal Yisrael terribly. And in Pasuk Hey, they would bring their animals and their tents like locusts and destroy the land. Just take everything. They would plunder, take everything from the country. That was how the Pesukim described the persecution that was inflicted upon them by the Midianites primarily, but assisted by Amalek and Bnei Kedem. So now, the Pesukim then continued to tell us the following, that Bnei Yisrael became impoverished, Pasuk Vav, they became incredibly impoverished because of Midian. By Yidal Yisrael Me'od, Mepnei Midian, they became terribly impoverished, so much so that the Pasuk then says, Vayizaku Bnei Yisrael El Hashem, they cried out to God. Now notice, it doesn't say anything other than crying out. The Chidah suggests, interestingly, it doesn't say they did tshuva, it doesn't say they davened for removal of the enemy, they just, it was like a primitive cry of pain, of suffering. They just cried out with no specific prayer expressed, says the Chida. They just cried out in pain. But yet that alone, Pasuk Zayin tells us, Vayhi ki za'aku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem al odos Midian, because they cried out as a result of Midian, that itself, therefore, was sufficient that in Pasuk Ches, God responds. God responds. So a fascinating musar here as well. Just simply crying in pain already drew a Kodesh Baruch Hu's response. A positive response as far as Klal Yisrael were concerned. And what happens? What's the response? In Pasuk Ches, God sends a Navi to Bnei Yisrael and he tells them, so said a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I took you out of Mitzrayim, I took you out of Beis Avadim, I saved you from Mitzrayim in Pasuk Tes, I saved you from your oppressors. I drove them away from before you. I gave you their land. And Pasuk Yud, I told you, I am your God. Don't fear the God of the Amori in whose land you are living. And then here comes the Musar. But first comes the history, now comes the Musar. End of Pasuk Yud. Velo shmatem bikoli. And you didn't listen. So in response to their primitive cry of pain, God sends a Navi. What appears to be happening here is that God has given them an opening for tshuva. Notice their cry of pain was sufficient that God sends a Navi who gives them Musar. He gives them the history. Remember what happened? Tzias Mitzrayim, victory in war, Eretz Yisrael, a demand that you not fear the God of the Amori, and then the Musar, and you did not listen. And you did not listen. And this is all designed to elicit some form of tshuva. Some form of tshuva. And what happens now? In Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, so that was the Navi. That's all we see from the Navi. The Navi comes, gives this Musar lesson to Klal Yisrael. And now comes the actual Yeshua in the following way. Pasuk Yud Aleph. A Malach Hashem now comes. A Malach Hashem now comes to save them. And he sits under the Eilah. The Eilah is a large tree. He sits under the Eilah, which was in Ophrah, that belonged to Yoash, Avi HaEzri. He's from the family of Avi Ezer. And Rashi tells us this is from the tribe of Menashe. So the Malach Hashem is sitting under this tree in Ophrah that belongs to Yoash from Shev Menashe. The Gidon Beno, and Gidon, the son of Yoash, was Chovet Chitim Bagas, was striking, beating wheat kernels in the wine press. Lohanis Mipnei Midjan. He was trying to evade, and to hide from Midjan. Because as we saw before in the Pesukim, you planted, they stole it. They plundered it. They took it. So here is Gidon, and listen to what the Pesukim are telling us. He's forced to thresh his wheat in the wine press as a means of evading discovery by the Midianites. Pretty remarkable, pretty sad actually. And Rashi tells us here that the Psukim describe that this was the tree of Yoash, but Gidon his son is the one striking the wheat. And Rashi tells us that initially the father, Yoash, was the one who was trying to crush the wheat. Gidon came over to his father and said to him, in the words of Rashi, Abba, Zakenata, you're elderly. If the Midianites suddenly come, you won't be able to flee. You go, I'll stay here and I'll beat the wheat kernels for you. See, he's sensitive to his father's safety. He's putting himself in harm's way instead. And that's how the Malach finds him. And in Pasuk Yud Beis, we're told, the Malach Hashem appears to him and says to him, Hashem imcha gibor hachayil. God is with you, warrior, mighty warrior. Why is he referring to Gidon as a gibor hachayil? We haven't yet seen anything about gibor's prowess in battle. You haven't yet been told that Gidon was a warrior of any sort. Yet the Malach Hashem tells him, God is with you, Gibor HaChayil. The only thing we know about Gidon was that he was striking his father's wheat, beating the wheat, threshing the wheat. That's all we know about him. And so Rashi tells us, Hashem Imcha Gibor HaChayil, Shenosan Lecha Koach Kazeh. You're clearly strong. God gave you this Koach. What Koach? Just the ability to physically strike wheat and crush it with a stick? Is that the Koach we're referring to? Or is it perhaps the Koach to be willing to overcome your own instinct for self-preservation, to overcome your own instinct for your own safety, and to put your father's safety before yours, to put your neck out, so to speak, tell your father, you go home, you stay where it's safe, I'll put myself at risk, I'll do this for you. Oh, that's Taka Gevura. That's Taka Gevura. That's a Gibor HaChayil. And that's a Gibor HaChayil, deserving of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Siyata Deshmaya. So the one thing we know about Gidon, based on Rashi's interpretation of the pasuk, is that he's willing to put himself out for his father's needs, threshing the wheat for his father, taking the risk himself, and that's why he is considered a Gibor HaChayil, and in that Zchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. In fact, in Sefer Mishpat Azov, he quotes a beautiful thought from the Altar of Kelm, Simcha Zissel Ziv, in his Sefer Chachma U'Musar. And the Alt of Kelm says the following. What the Pesukim are telling us here about Gidon is that he's sensitive to someone else's suffering and pain and worries and concerns. In this case, it was Gidon being sensitive to his father's concerns and worries. And willing to take on that risk himself, endanger himself for his father's sake. That, says the Alt of Kelm, is what made him worthy of being a shofet for Klal Yisrael. That sensitivity. The sensitivity to others' suffering and the willingness to carry it on your own shoulders, that's what made him roy to be the shofet of Klal Yisrael. That itself was all it took, says the Alt of Kelm. The same is true for Moshe Rabbeinu. He saw a Jew being beaten by a Mitzri. He kills the Mitzri. Oh, you have that sensitivity to another Jew? Well, take the risk yourself, put your neck out for somebody else. That made him zochet to become the Moshe on Shal Yisrael. Because when you demonstrate that sensitivity of no se ba'om chavero, says the Alto of Kelm, you see someone else's concern, someone else's pain, someone else's suffering. You're willing to bend on down, so to speak, and carry the burden yourself along with that individual, putting yourself in harm's way at the same time. Well, that's the kind of concern HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see in a manhig shel Yisrael. That's someone who's going to look out and see why Klai saw suffering, why they're being punished, why they're being persecuted. Oh, because they sinned. Oh, let me make sure this doesn't happen anymore. It's someone who's going to take responsibility. Someone who's going to do for others. That's the quality that Gideon possessed that made him worthy of being the Shofet and the Moshiach and Shal Yisrael. So writes the Alter of Kelm, and that's what was Moshe Benos Schus as well. Also a beautiful Musar. Now look at the next Pesukim. So now, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Gideon responds to the Malach Hashem. The Malach Hashem just approached him out of the blue and said to him, Hashem Imcha Gibor Achayel, God is with you, mighty warrior. In response, Gideon says, Be Adonai, please my master. V'yesh Hashem Imanu, if God is in truth with us, V'lama mitzah asnu calls us, why has this happened to us? Where all the wonders that our fathers told us, telling us, Hallo mi Mitzrayim, Hallo Hashem, God took us out of Egypt, and now Netashanu God Hashem has abandoned us, it seems, by Nina Bekaf Midjan, he's given us over to Midjan. So notice how, the Mefarshim point out, Gideon responds by saying, not Hashem iti, but Hashem imanu. He deflects the compliment in a certain sense. The Malach said, Hashem imcha, God's with you. You're the one who God has seen as being worthy of Nevuah, of being worthy of Sefer Dishmaya. What does Gideon say back? Oh, Hashem imanu, God's with us, meaning all of Klal Yisrael. If that's the case, then why is this happening to us? Why are we suffering? And he speaks almost in an accusatory tone, but on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Where are all those wonders that I've been told about? You see, as Mitzrayim, the miracles, how is this happening to us? He's speaking on behalf of Klal Yisrael, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, almost with a sense of bitterness or a sense of accusation, almost it sounds like. But L'shem Shemayim, on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And then in response, Pasuk Yidalet, Vayifen, Elav Hashem, God turns back to him. Now notice how the shift now from the Malach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi points this out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo. Until now it was the Malach Hashem that is engaged in communication with Gideon. Suddenly now, Vayifen Elav Hashem, God turns to him. I mean, this is someone who cares so much about Klal Yisrael, this is deserving of God himself coming to speak to him. Vayomer, and God says to him, Leich bechocha chazeh, go with this strength, the Hoshata es Yisrael, and save Bnei Yisrael, mikaf Midjan, from the hands of Midjan, halo shlachticha, I have sent you. There are certain almost allusions here, or reminiscences of Moshe Rabbeinu being appointed by God to be the shliach at the Sinet to go and save Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. And almost like a similar kind of repeat here of HaKadosh Baruch Hu approaching now Gideon and appointing him to be the shliach. Halo shalachticha, I have sent you to go and save Klal Yisrael from Midjan. But notice what God says. Lech b'kocha chazeh. Go with this strength of yours. What strength of yours? Again, the same question we raised before. We haven't seen his prowess in battle yet. What strength of yours is God saying, go with this strength to redeem Klal Yisrael? So Rashi tells us beautifully, in the strength of this merit that you defended my children. Shalamarta sanigoria abonai. You defended my children. That harshly phrased complaint that we just saw a moment ago. Where are the wonders? How could this have happened to us? You've abandoned us. God sees in that a real pain for Klal Yisrael. He senses Klal Yisrael's pain in Gideon's words. Gideon senses Klal Yisrael's pain. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that in Gideon's words. So in that koach that you defended my children, in that koach says the pasuk now to Gideon, that you defended my children, that is the schus that will enable you to now save Klal Yisrael. Also, beautiful Musar. When one feels the pain of Klal Yisrael, it's not just that he, in this case, Gideon, was zocha to be the Shofet Moshe and Shal Yisrael, but it's that he's defending Klal Yisrael. Now, we know that Klal Yisrael was sinning. The Pasuk said so. Vayasu b'nei Yisrael sarah. They were doing evil. But this was not someone looking to accuse Klal Yisrael, someone looking to defend Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu, how could this be that you've abandoned us? How could this be that you've abandoned us? And in fact, Rashi says on Gideon's complaint to Kadosh Baruch Hu that even if Klal Yisrael are now Rishayim, Gideon was saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you should still perform miracles the same way you did for Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, we know they were Memtesh Aritumah, they were Obdei Avodah Zarah. They weren't deserving of miracles in Mitzrayim. It was because in the Schus of the Ovos, God's promise, okay? But they themselves in Mitzrayim were sinners, and yet you perform miracles for them. So Gideon's saying, so now too, you'll tell me that Klal Yisrael are sinners, so what? You did the same thing in Mitzrayim, do it again. So in that schus now, the Pasuk is telling us, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Gideon, in the schus that you defended my children. Now notice how the Rashi's Lashon is, B'koach haschus hazeh, shalamarta sanigoria albanai. You've defended my children. Even when Kadosh Baruch Hu is punishing Klal Yisrael because they sinned. But ultimately they're his children. We are his children. And when Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that someone is defending his children, oh, that's his schus. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves to see that. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Jews to accuse other Jews. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Jews to point out the sins of other Jews. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants Jews to defend other Jews, even when those other Jews are sinners. Even when there's hara b'ini Hashem, God doesn't want to see Jews accuse other Jews. He wants to see Jews defend other Jews. Shalomantasani gori albanai, you defended my children. That's the schus for Yeshua's Hashem. That brought about the salvation from Milchama. When we're engaged in a battle, in a war, the worst thing is for Jews to say to other Jews, you're sinners, look what they're doing. What Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see when the Jews are engaged in the battle is that Jews should speak positively of other Jews, even if they're not deserving. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you still should bring about Yeshua's Hashem. That's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see. Shalamartas and Igoria Albanai. And Sukkim now continue. Pasuk Tezvav. And again, think about the exchange between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the burning bush. And you'll sense almost similarities here, parallels. Pasuk Tezvav, Gideon responds now by saying, Vayomer Elav, Biado Noi Bamo Oshias Yisrael, Hine Alpi Hadal Bimnashe, Vanochi Atzar Beveis Avi. What do I have to make me worthy of saving Klal Yisrael? My group of 1,000 is the most, call it the least prominent in all of my tribe of Menashe. And I am the youngest in my father's family. Meaning, why am I worthy? Why am I the one being sent to save Klal Yisrael? Notice the humility here, the anava. And the parallels here, this is pointed out, Mishpat Zav quotes this from Sefer Tzror Hamor, one of the early Meforshim on the Torah, one of the late Rishonim, who points out that you see here the anava of Gideon, which makes him worthy of being appointed to the position of promise that he was appointed to. He's worried about Klal Yisrael, not about himself. And at the same time, he's expressing humility. Why am I deserving of being appointed to this position? And Pasuk Tazayin, again, notice the parallels. Vayomer Elav Hashem ki eyeh imach. I'll be with you. Right? Again, rings bells of Parsha Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer Elav Hashem ki eyeh imach. I will be with you. V'kisa es midjan kish echad, and you will destroy Midjan. You will destroy Midjan. And so, now in just concluding this, I guess, introduction to the story of Gideon. In Pasuk Yedzayin, Gideon responds by saying now, so if I have found favor in your eyes, then please show me a miracle that I know that you are the one who is in truth speaking to me. Gideon wasn't a Navi from past experience. This is his first Nivu experience. He's looking for proof, so as it were. And so in Pasuk Yurches, Gideon says, Al nasa mosh mizeh adboi elecha. Please don't leave. Please don't leave until I return. I'll bring out my offering, my mincha. I'll place it down in front of you. And Malbim explains, Gideon just wasn't sure. Was this message come from God himself? He just wasn't so sure. He wasn't so sure. And he asks, let me bring back my mincha. Bring back my mincha. I'll put it before you. Vayomar anochi eshev ad shuvecha. And so the Malach says, I'll wait until you return. And we are told in the test, Gideon returns. He brings a gedi'izim, a goat, efas kemach matzos, a measurement of matzos. Rashi tells us, so it says Pesach time. It was second day of Pesach. Preparing to bring the mincha sa'omer. He brings basar meat in a basket and marak, some sort of liquid, gravy, soup, whatever you want to call it. He places that baparur also in some sort of bowl of sorts, and he brings this all to the tree. He approaches with this in hand, and the Malach tells him in Pasuk Chaf, take the meat, take the matzos, put them on this rock, pour the liquid out. He does so. The Malach then takes the stick he has in his hand, touches the basar, touches the matzos, fire ascends from the rock, consumes the basar and the matzos, and the Malach Hashem disappears. At that time, Gideon now has that miracle that he had asked as proofs, as proof as it were, that he was really speaking to a Malach Hashem. And he then recognizes in Pasuk Chaf Beis, wow, aha, Hashem Elokim, Kalkein, Ro'isi, Malach Hashem, Panim Apanim, I've actually now seen a Malach Hashem face to face. And God tells him, Shalom Lecha, Altir Lo Tamos, don't be afraid, you're not going to die. Gideon builds a Mizbeach there. He calls it Hashem Shalom. That Mizbeach remained in Ofras, Avi HaEzri, in that location that belonged to the family of Avi Ezer. Okay, so that is the introduction to God appointing Gideon to be the Shofet Yisrael, to rescue Klal Yisrael. And then we'll continue next week with the second half of the parak, their preparations for battle, to go and do battle with Midian as the means of being Moshiach, Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here.